Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Father, thank you that you'd ministered every heart in the place tonight. May there be open hearts and receptive ears to the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, everybody doing good? This weather goes up and down. As all last week, I was up in Michigan and sort of ministered every night. And then, of course, Lynette did a great job Sunday morning filling in. I was going to come anyway, but she said, no, you need to rest. So I did. Okay. All right. But I'm here tonight, okay? I want to continue talking about fear. If you remember the other Wednesday night, I talked about that fear is a spirit. The Word of God says it is. And I talked about that it comes from the evil one. But tonight I want to talk about winning over fear. We need to realize that God intended for us to live free from fear. Now, moments of fear will come to everybody. I mean, everybody will experience a feeling of fear. But it doesn't mean that you have to let fear become a lifestyle. Many people allow fear to set the limits in what they can do in life. They don't realize it, but they say, I can't do that. Why are they saying they can't do that? Because they're fearful that they can't accomplish it. They can't do it. You see, fear, Babe Ruth. Anybody know who Babe Ruth was? He was a home run hitter. He said, never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. If you'll check his record, he struck out a whole bunch of times. But he also had the home run record for a long, long time. God wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit and not do not be afraid. Now, how many of you have ever read after the King David in the Psalms? He faced a lot of serious situations in his life. But he always learned never to allow fear in. In Psalms 23:4, New King James, and I'm also going to read this from the NLT. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The New Living says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me, and your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Now, the Voice translation on that says, even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, I am not overcome by fear because you are with me in those dark moments, near with your protection and guidance, I'm comforted. Now look at 27. Turn a few pages over there in chapter 27, verse number 1. Reading from the NLT, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? Now, the other translation said, whom shall I fear? David had many opportunities to fear. Many. Think about it. He's a 16-year-old kid, they think, when he's out there with his father's sheep. And here comes a lion. And here comes a bear. He protected the sheep. Now, if it had been me, I don't know about you, I might have been a little fearful if a bear was coming. You know, up in my office, I've got a bear rug, big, big black bear rug up there that my son-in-law, Denise's husband, shot up in Alaska. And she wouldn't let him take it to the house. And the taxidermist kept it for a while. And she finally said, you got to get this out of here. So I said, well, bring it up here. I'll take it in my office. And I did have it turned this way where the head was looking when you walked in. And my wife said, turn that thing around. Because, I mean, it's big teeth and its claw. That claw is as big as my wife. In fact, it's for you hunters, you'll probably know about this. It was big enough that it got put in the Boone and Crockett. Any of you hunters know what I'm talking about if you're a hunter? Yeah, some of you raising your hand. Well, so it was a big bear if it got put in the Boone and Crockett. You know, think about this. He was 17 and a half years old, David was, when he faced Goliath. But he had no fear. I mean, Saul chased him all over the country trying to kill him, but he had no fear. In these challenging situations, David chose to put his trust in God rather than be afraid. Now, I mean, he could have gotten in fear in this, you know, and just give up. You know, many people give in to fear and never dare to become what God has created them to become. In these verses I just read, David talked about trusting God who is with him no matter what happens. You know, when my dad said we're going to start a Bible school, and he looked at me and he said, you do it, you went to Bible school. I didn't. I mean, I thought for just a moment, hey, I don't know anything about education. I didn't. I took Bible and theology and stuff about ministry. I didn't. And then it came to me, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I said, okay, here we go. And what, 49 years later, we still here and we still graduating students from all over the world. But, you know, there's a lot of things, even things that you, God puts in your path to do. You can be afraid and turn aside from it and never accomplish it. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It doesn't mean that you won't make it to heaven. You just never accomplish everything that God would like for you to accomplish in your life. Y'all there, y'all gone home. Man, it's quiet in here tonight. How come it's so quiet? Y'all trying to figure out what I'm going to say next, maybe. I don't know. Well, I don't know either, so don't worry about it. You know, David's secret over winning over fear was the fact that when he was going through the greatest trials of his life, God was with him in every step of the way, and he's with us. You know, his own son tried to take the kingdom away from him. And he didn't even get afraid then, because he knew what God had said. Sometimes in the difficulties of life, we seem to want to, oh, what are we going to do now? Well, I learned something from a man that I'm named after. When we'd say, what are we going to do now? He would say, we're just going to act like the Word of God is true. If I heard him say it once, I heard him say it 1,000 times. Another thing he used to say, he used to say, just another opportunity to prove God's Word works. One way to guard against fear is to remember every situation that you face in life, no matter what it is, no matter how hard, how difficult, God is there with you. So why do you need to fear? That's what David said there. Isn't that what David said here? He said here, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Being afraid in the natural is something that we have when you walk out there and you look and you see traffic. You don't walk out in front of it. Now we talked about that last week ago. We talked about that because we talked about that there's natural good fear and there's natural bad fear. Hello. There's some things you need to be afraid of. Hello. If a wild dog come running down that aisle right there, you better be afraid. So don't anybody run over me, because I'll be going out that back way right there. I just don't want to get bit, that's all. No, but what I'm talking about, the devil brings things to us to get us in fear so we will get away from the Word of God and what the Word of God says about our situation. Many times he'll come to us and say, you know, now God helped you out last time, but man, nobody's ever faced anything like this. And Peter goes over and says that all the trials, everybody's facing some of the same things. Now, you know, sometimes we open the door for fear. Okay? We say, well, when I'm worried about this situation, that's fearful. You wouldn't say he's worried about it. There's a difference in being concerned and worrying. There's a difference. Okay? Oh, I just dread this. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. I'm just trying to bring a few things to you so you can be wise to the enemy's tactics. You know? People using threatening language or actions can bring fear to us. I've been in situations, I've told you about the situation, you know, when I was overseas and going in customs, and man, everybody started screaming at one another. Custom agents were screaming and yelling and going on. I don't know. Have you ever seen that? Tad, you going? Tony, have you ever seen any commotion like that going on? It was starting. Now, I've seen before people get upset because of the custom agents, but this one started to escalate, and the crowd started to get involved. And I could tell this situation, you know, could get bad fast. And in the natural, fear wants to grip you. But I just began to say, I'm not being given the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And I know a name that's above every name. And I just began to say under my breath, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I said it about four or five times under my breath. Everything settled down. They waved a whole bunch of us through and didn't even check nothing. I don't know, you know, but that's what happened. You know, you need to be careful about what you're viewing and what you're reading, because that can promote fear. Sometimes you need to be careful even about some of the news. It'll promote fear. Religious cults using threatening language to control people. And then advertisers do this all the time. Negative advertisement promoting doom. If you don't buy it now, you're never going to get it. You know, news reports. These are various ways that the enemy tries to come into our lives with fear. You know, remember that all of this, the enemy is behind this because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. We never forget that the real author behind it is the devil himself. Now, we've got to resist fear and not open the door. Job opened the door when he said, "What I feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come upon me." After all the tragedies that happened to Job, he uttered these words. Now, I want us to look at this. When Paul is saying some things here, a contrast. The things that are from God and the things that aren't from God. I want you to look at 1 Timothy 1:7. We're going to look at this for just a moment. 1 Timothy 1:7. 1 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind." Now, the spirit of fear is not from God. It says so right here. It comes from the devil. Now, from God comes power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Power to overcome, to love when people are unlovely and have done unlovely things that could make us afraid. And then a sound mind. We either choose to have the spirit, a spirit of fear, or of the power and the love and the sound mind. God hasn't given us, but we can give in to fear. If we allow fear to control us, then we don't have a sound mind. That's one of the things that when I was in Army training, my boot camp, one of the things they really drilled in, or I don't know whether everybody got it up, but I know Sergeant Burns, he drilled this in our head. No matter what happens, don't ever get afraid and never panic. If you do, you can't think straight. You will make wrong decisions that could get you and the rest of the guys killed. And this is what this is saying here, that we have not the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. You see, if the enemy can get you thinking in your mind and get you in fear, he can get you away from the Word of God. You need to keep the Word of God coming out of yourself. Living in fear causes a person to end up in bondage. They're afraid. You know, some people, they're so afraid of germs that they wash their hands so much until their hands are chapped. There's some people, that will not ride in an elevator. They always climb the stairs. Out of fear. Come on, don't look at me like that. I'm dealing with, and we as God's people should not ever have to be in fear. We should realize that God will protect us and God will take care of us. You know, when fear moves in, faith moves out. Come on now. When fear moves in, power moves out. When fear moves in, sound mind is gone. You can't think straight. You just think for a minute. When you've been in fear before, your thinking is not right. Living in fear causes a person to end up in bondage. Now, I've told this before. I was about 13, 14, I guess. And one night, I kept hearing a scratching. And I woke up and I looked. And this is back. And now some of you people don't even know what I'm talking about. But we would have a shade we would pull down. We didn't have Venetian blinds and all that kind of stuff. But we had a shade that we pulled down. And if you didn't shut that shade right when you let it go, boom. So the shade was there. And the porch light was on. I was in the back of the house. And then I would see this, and I'd hear this coming down, and I'd see this look like a man's hand. And for just a few seconds, excuse me, just for a few seconds, I said, oh, man, somebody's trying to break in. That's the window was there. Somebody's trying to break in the house. Oh, what am I going to do? And then I said, well, what's the matter with me? So I got out of bed, and I didn't even have any weapon with me, and I opened the door, and, you know, the back door, looked out on the porch, and that old mimosa tree out there, the wind was blowing, and that wind was coming down, and it's scraping the side of the house, and when it got down, and the light shining through that tree, made it look like a hand. Now, that's what the enemy does. He brings stuff to us to cause us to get into fear that we don't even need to be in fear about in the first place. In fact, I read somewhere that most of the time when people get in fear, most of the time it's something that never happens. I forget what the percentage was. I don't want to quote any percentage but I know it was a large percentage of the time people get in fear, and what they get in fear about never even comes to pass. The enemy wants you to live in this kind of mental bondage. You know, today, many Christians, the reason I'm talking about this, are fearful of what's going on in the world today. What's going on in the world today, you don't need to be fearful. You just need to believe what God said. And if God took care of the children of Israel back in his day, in their day, he can take care of his children today if we'll believe what he says right here in this word. Actually, we shouldn't even get that concerned, because exactly what Matthew 24 talked about is what's happening right now. You know, I preached God's greater glory, and I remember I had that. We had, and in 2013, I guess it was, I had that vision, And the Lord showed me this curtain, and it just closed down till it was a thin veil. He said, that's time. And he said, that's how close we are to the end. I believe that everything's setting up just exactly like the Bible said. We're going to the end. I'm not afraid. I'm just going to be ready to go. I'm not going to argue with anybody whether it's going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. I'm just going to stay ready to go, because it doesn't matter what it is. God is going to take care of me, and I'm not going to get in fear. Hello? You know, you got to guard against fear, because the physical senses will bring fear in. Remember the disciples in Matthew 28:23, now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he rose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The disciples allowed fear to get inside of them instead of listening to the word of the Lord. He said, go to the other side. He intended to go to the other side, and he went back and went to sleep. And they're up there. And, you know, it had to be a fierce storm. Because remember, Peter, James, and John were commercial fishermen that fished on that lake. That was their livelihood. And they'd been in on that lake many times. So it had to be a fierce storm for these seasoned seamen to get fearful. See, we need to realize that things can come, but we can't let the fear get inside of us. We resist the fear in the name of Jesus. Sometimes, you know, feelings can make you forget. When Peter's walking on the water, and, you know, there in Matthew 24:28, He said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. And so Peter got out of the boat and started walking to him. But when Peter saw the wind, the boisterous waves, and he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. He cried out. When he saw, it caused him to take his eyes off Jesus. He got in fear. See, if you keep your eyes on the word and what the word of God says, then fear is here and the word is here. Otherwise, it goes like this. The word goes down and the fear rises and takes control. You need to have the word of God up in control at all times. You know, when we look at this, fear comes in many times when we least expect it. Out of the clear blue, something will come. We'll hear something. We'll see something on the TV. And fear. That's immediately when you've got to take a stand. I don't have a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Hello? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You know, remember in Mark, the fifth chapter of Mark, with the one with issue of blood? Remember, actually, they were on their way to Jairus' house because Jairus had come to get Jesus to come to his house because he was a ruler of a synagogue, and to pray for his daughter because she was dying. And so while they were stopped with the woman with the issue of blood, they came to Jairus and said, don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, only believe. Now here Jairus is. He's got a choice. He can choose, listen to the bad report, or he can choose to listen to what Jesus said. He chose to stay in faith. rather than let fear. I'm sure when he heard those words, fear began to grip him, and Jesus told him, don't be afraid, only believe. How many times in the Word of God, when you're reading, have you seen these words, don't be afraid? Anybody ever read the many times in the Word of God, don't be afraid, don't fear? Why would so many times would he say that? Because that God realized that the enemy will use the fear tactic to try to destroy his people. So he wants you to realize, don't be afraid. If God is for us, who can be against us? Why should we fear? Yeah, but you don't know what they said. I don't care what they said. The Bible said. You know, listening to a bad report can bring fear to you, and you've got to stand against it. I mean, you can get a bad report from the doctor, a bad report from a financial situation, and you got to learn to stand against fear and believe God to for your healing, or believe God to show you how to get out of the financial dilemma that you've got yourself in. Hello. But if you let fear get a hold of you, you can't think straight, and you'll make wrong decisions. Come on now. You know, we've got to keep the door shut so fear doesn't get in. You got to guard what you listen to. You got to guard yourself. Sometimes you need to stay out of some environments. You put yourself in a bad position by going somewhere that you shouldn't have went in the first place. I've done that as a young teenager and young man, but I know none of y'all have, so I just talk about me, because I know none of y'all have never gone into an environment, put yourself in an environment where you shouldn't have been in the first place. But that can bring fear in. You know, you go this place, you're there, and now, oh, I hope Mom and Dad don't find out about that. I hope they don't find out about that. Oh, you know, so-and-so was there, and they'll probably tell their mama that I was there, and they'll tell Mom, oh, my goodness. Nobody ever been there? I mean, I've been there. Anybody else? I got any friends? Oh, I got a bunch of friends. Tony, I know better. You didn't raise your hand. I know you. That's Tony Cook. He was the associate here for 19 years, and we thought we were going to be together till Jesus come, but the Lord changed his ministry, and every time he's in town, he comes. I appreciate Tony very much. He's a close friend of mine. Hallelujah. If you hadn't read any of his books, you need to read them. He got some good ones. Oh, that's what we say. Good ones. We say it, good ones, down in Texas, where I come from. That's what we say. You know, you win over fear by feeding your faith, and your fears won't grow. Or you can feed your fear, and your fear grows, and your faith don't grow. You know, it says, hearing, faith comes by hearing by the word. Fear can come by hearing too. So you need to shut it down, okay? Often, you know, I often read scriptures and read the scripture, but I often declare in an out loud voice, often I'll declare, God's not given me a spirit of fear. No weapon formed against me will prosper. The Lord is for me. No one can stand against me. I make those declarations all the time. You need to make those declarations. When you make those declarations, fear has to go out the window and faith rises. Okay? David said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Everybody stand, please. I just started to talk to you about fear tonight and winning over fear. We need to realize that fear is one of the greatest tactics that the devil uses against us to get us out of quoting the Word of God and standing on the Word. When we see things happening, it brings fear. Well, hey, keep standing on the Word of God. Keep saying what God says and don't say what the fear is saying. Amen. Heavenly Father, just try to instruct your people tonight for a few moments on the subject of fear. We do not have to be afraid. You are our strength. You are our protector. You keep us and you protect us and you provide for us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Listen, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him. If you happen to know what it is to serve Christ, but you have just got off road and you're detoured out here, and you need to come back in and rededicate your life to God, or you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Or you need somebody to pray with you about something, anything, whatever it is. Here's the ladies over here. Men are over here. Excuse me. As we're dismissed, you come down here. If you need salvation, need to rededicate your life, you need the Holy Spirit, or you need somebody to pray with you about something, here's the prayer warriors. They will pray with you. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Sunday morning right here.